بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 18th of January in the year 2021 and الحمد لله we moved on to the fourth night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the illustrious companion Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu anhu. So the next section entitled His Drinking of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Sacred Blood. His Drinking of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Sacred Blood. So when or how did this occur? So his son Amr, the son of Abdullah ibn Zubair, he relates, My father Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu anhu once approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he was being cooked. When the cooking was complete, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu anhu, take this blood and throw it where no one sees you. However, when Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu anhu left his presence, He took the blood to his mouth and he drank it. When he returned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, What did you do with the blood? He replied, I placed it in the most hidden place where I am sure that no one would know about it. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet then asked with a smile, Did you perhaps drink it? When Abdullah ibn Zubair admitted, yes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why did you drink the blood? Now, destruction shall come to the people from you. And destruction shall come to you from the people. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So first, where is it recorded? Dharukutni in his Sunan 1-228. Abu Ya'ala Bayhaqi in his Dalail al-Nubu'ah. Al-Isaba, Volume 2, page 310. Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 6343, or Volume 3, page 554. Ibn Asakir in his Tariq Dimishq, 28-163. Hafiz Zahabi in his Siyat, 3-366. Hafiz Ibn Al-Athir in his Asad al-Ghaba, 3-242. Tabarani and Bazar relate similar. Al-Haytami in Majma al-Zawaid, Volume 8, page 270, he states, The men of Al-Bazar are men found in the Sahih collection, except for Humayd ibn Qasim, who is reliable. Hafiz ibn Kathir stated da'if in his Al-Bidayah in the section on the Khalifa of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 360-1 of the New English Translation. So let's look at the authenticity. So is this an authentic report? So according to some, it is. Hafiz Haythami rahmatullah alayh, he said it's an authentic report. Hafiz ibn Kathir said, Because there's a person in the chain who has a weakness, slight weakness, is a weakness. Whatever the case, it's more towards the authentic side, the report. So let's look what happened. So obviously, Abdullah ibn Zubair, he must be a boy. Doesn't matter when the Prophet cooked, we know that maximum he's 10 years old. And he was born first, so he's between 0 and 10. So hazard a guess, probably about 6 or 7 years old at the time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's got cooked. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told by the angels on the night of Isra, tell your ummah to cook, there is nothing like it. Tell your ummah to cook, there is nothing like it. This is a hadith in Tirmidhi, authentic meaning, it's a great medication. So when he had cooked, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the young Abdullah, take this blood and throw it where no one sees you. Now think about that. So when he told him this command, did Abdullah ibn Zubair disobey the Prophet? No. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was take the blood, throw it where no one sees you. So if you go to a quiet corner and you knock it, throw it into your mouth, you've obeyed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the question to ask is, how does a child know that Rasulullah's blood is not like normal blood? Think about that. How does a child know that? Even if you ask men, the blood of the Prophet, is it najis? They'll say, yeah, it's impure. Just like normal blood. A child knows more than you. Our blood is impure, no doubt. So when he drank it, now look how interesting. He didn't want the Prophet to know. He did not want the Prophet to know about this. So when the Prophet came back, when he came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him, did you perhaps drink my blood? So obviously he said, yes. Now look what the Prophet said. Another miracle. Why did you drink my blood? Meaning, you did a good thing. But now there's a problem. Destruction shall come to the people from you. Meaning you are going to cause many people problems, i.e. difficulties. And destruction shall come to you from the people. People are going to do the same to you. You're going to cause hardships to others, and they are going to cause great hardship to you. Now why did the Prophet say that? Because he's got his blood inside his body now. When you've got Rasulullah's blood in your body, you're going to have to experience some of what the Prophet experienced. Didn't the Prophet suffer greatly from his people? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And didn't others suffer greatly from him? Yes. So Ibn Zubayr was told this. Because now you're going to have to go through this, my dear youngster. In another report from Abu Asim, according to popular opinion, the phenomenal strength that Abdullah ibn Zubayr had came from this blood. This is recorded in Ibn Asakir, Kanz al-Umad, volume 7, page 57, Hafiz Zahabi in the Siyar, volume 3, page 366, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 361, of the New English Translation. So let's look at this. So many of the righteous predecessors, they agreed that Abdullah ibn Zubayr was a ferocious warrior. There was something not normal about him. He had some sort of extraordinary strength. And they agreed that it was that blood. So when as he drank the blood of the Prophet, something happened to him. This is supported by the fact that another company, Sayyidina Safina radiyallahu anhu, had also once drank the cup blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the Prophet was informed of this, he merely smiled. This is recorded in Tabarani, Al-Haythami, in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 8, page 270, states some, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 362, of the New English Translation. So, and as is well known, his name was given to him due to the fact he could carry heavy loads. So let's look at this. So the word Safina with a seen means boat. That word is used in Surah Al-Kahf. You hear it, the end. Safina means boat. Or a ship, a small ship. Why was this companion called a ship? The Prophet changed his name. Because the report says, authentic, he drank the blood of the Prophet. When he drank the blood, what happened to him? Once the Prophet had to cross a kind of a body of water, and Safina was the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was going through the water carrying a big load as if the water wasn't even troubling him. Just walking straight through. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Safina, there's the boat. Where did he get that strength from? The hadith says he drank the blood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So going back to Abdullah ibn Zubayr, he wasn't the only one who had the blood of the Prophet. It affected people, made them strong. In another report it mentions, Salman al-Farsi had informed our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of what Abdullah ibn Zubayr had done. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he radiyallahu anhu said, I wish to have the blood of Rasulullah in my stomach. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah then pointed to Abdullah ibn Zubayr's head and said, destruction shall come to the people from you, and destruction shall come to you from the people. However, the fire of hell shall now not touch you, except to fulfill the promise, i.e. of crossing the bridge of Sirat. Subhanallah. This is recorded in Ibn Asakir, is Hassan, Abu Na'im al-Hilya, Kanz al-Umal, volume 7, page 56, Al-Bidayah, volume 8, Hafiz Zahabi in Isir, volume 3, page 366, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 361-2, of the New English Translation. So let's look at this. So Salman al-Farsi was the one who noticed he drank the blood. One of the great companions saw that. He informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, and he goes, I wanted your blood to be in my stomach, Ya Rasulullah. He goes, I wanted your blood to mix with me. The Prophet said exactly the same words, but here he added, the fire of hell shall now not touch you, except to fulfill the promise. The promise is you. Everybody has to cross the bridge of Sirat. But the blood of the Prophet is protecting him from what? The fire of hell now. This fight, that once the Holy Prophet's blood mixes with another, and then the fire of hell is forbidden to him, is confirmed from the fact that Abu Sa'id al-Khudri's father, Malik ibn Sinan radiallahu, had licked the blood off the Prophet's face at Uhud, upon which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, once my blood has mixed with his, the fire of hell shall now never touch him. Subhanallah. Once my blood has mixed with his, the fire of hell shall now never touch him. This is in Tabarani in his Awsat, Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawaid, volume 8, page 270. He comments upon the chain of narrators, Ayada Sahaba, volume 3, page 362 of the New English Translation. So in the Battle of Uhud, we all know the Prophet got injured. He was struck on his shoulder, the helmet pierced his cheeks, he lost a tooth, so he's bleeding. Malik ibn Sinan, his son's more famous. His son is Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, very famous Sahaba. His father was Malik ibn Sinan. He saw the blood on the Prophet's face, and what did he do? Instead of wiping it, he started to lick it, lick the blood. Now look how strange that is. Why would you lick the blood of somebody? And the Prophet didn't say, Astaghfirullah, he goes, don't you know the blood is napak? Don't you know? All he said was, once my blood has mixed, the fire of hell shall never touch you. How intelligent he was. So go back to the previous report. Abdullah ibn Zubayr, the Prophet said the same, the fire of hell will now not touch you. He was given phenomenal strength. Where did he get this knowledge from? In another report, we have an interesting addition. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abdullah ibn Zubayr. He told Malik ibn Sinan, that sahaba who licked his blood at Uhud, spit it out. Malik ibn Sinan responded, I will never spit it out. Then he swallowed it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever wants to see a man from the people of paradise, then let him look at this man, i.e. Malik ibn Sinan. He was later martyred in the battle. This is recorded in Tabarani. Sa'id ibn Mansur in his Sunan, Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawaid states, I didn't see in his chain anyone whose weakness is unanimously agreed upon. So what happened? So when Malik ibn Sinan radiallahu anhu licked the blood of the Prophet's face, the Prophet said, straight away, spit it out. Now, he disobeyed. He said, I will never spit it out. And he swallowed it. So now, does that make him an unbeliever? If you disobey the Prophet, you're an unbeliever. So how would you explain that?
If you're showing your love, then the love there, so that's not...
Okay. Can you think of another example where disobedience took place, but this was love?
You said about Abdullah ibn Zubayr.
Abdullah ibn Zubayr, okay. But he didn't disobey, he was obeying the command. The Prophet told Malik, spit it out. He said, I will never spit it out. He swallowed it. So the other examples you can think of is Abu Bakr, radiallahu. When Abu Bakr Siddiq was leading the prayer, and the Prophet comes out, he's very ill. And then the people started clapping, because they wanted Abu Bakr to realize the Prophet's behind. So Abu Bakr then has a glance, sees the Prophet, and he starts walking backwards. The Prophet then signaled to him, stay where you are. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu raised his hands to the heavens, still started walking backwards. And then the Prophet led the prayer sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the salat, he said, oh Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, why did you not stay where you were when I signaled? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, how dare the son of Abu Qahafa lead the prayer in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Prophet turns to the Sahaba, why were you clapping? When you want the Imam's attention, say Subhanallah. This is recorded in Sahih Bukhari. So disobedience, if it's not out of love, is actually a great deed in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example, Ali radiallahu anhu. When Ali radiallahu anhu was told to write the Treaty of Hudaybiyah to sign, and he actually signed, from Muhammad Rasulullah. So Hail ibn Amr, who was the chieftain of the Quraysh, he goes, what's that? I don't accept he's Rasulullah. Wipe it out. So Ali goes, no. The Prophet then said, look, take out Rasulullah, write Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Ali goes, no, I can't do it. Then the Prophet himself put a line through Rasulullah. So Ali disobeyed the Prophet, Sahih Bukhari, but this is love. So here, Malik ibn Sinan, the Prophet goes, spit it out. He says, I will never spit it out. And he drank it. And then the Prophet said, there's the man of paradise. But what's amazing, he was martyred in the same battle. So he only had the blood for a short while. In the battle of Uhud, he was martyred. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri was his son. So when you hear his name, you should remember that his father was the great martyr at the battle of Uhud. His name, otherwise, oh, Abu Sa'id, oh yeah, yeah, who's he? You say his name all the time, Abu Sa'id, oh yeah, mashallah. Similarly, here another report in Darqutni, Asma radiyallahu anha, she relates, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed cupping, gave his blood to my son, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, he drank it in privacy. Jibreel then came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and informed him about this. So he summoned the young Abdullah. He said, what did you do? Abdullah said, I did not like to pour your blood away. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, the hellfire will now not touch you. He then patted his head in love and affection and said, woe to the people from you and woe to you from the people. Right? In other words, you're going to have problems. So let's look at this. Jibreel descends. Does Jibreel descend when he feels like it? Allah the Almighty and Lord, he has sent Jibreel to alert the Prophet that this youngster's drank your blood. So he asked him, why did you drink my blood? And this time, look at all his beautiful replies. Your blood is too precious. It's not to be thrown away. He said, I don't like to throw your blood away. Sounds like a fully mature man. 5-year-old kid. And then the Prophet said, the fire will not touch you, but woe to you now from the people. And woe to the people from you. In another report, Abdullah ibn Zubayr later gave the reason why he drank the blood. Because the people questioned him about it. When he got older, did you drink the blood? Why did you drink the blood? He said, I drank it so that I might increase in knowledge and iman. And so that I might have something from the body of Rasulullah in my body, which is made from the earth. Subhanallah. Recorded by Hafiz ibn Kathir in his Al-Bidayah in the section of the Khalifah of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. So he's explaining, now people obviously think, you drank this blood. So this time he says, I wanted my iman to increase and my knowledge. And I wanted something of his to mix with me. It is also related, when Abdullah ibn Zubayr drank his blood, the fragrance of musk came from his mouth thereafter and remained with him until he was martyred. When he drank his blood, the fragrance of musk emanated from his mouth thereafter, remained with him until he was martyred. Recorded by Hafiz Zurqani in his Al-Mawahib, Al-Jawhar, Al-Maqlun fi Dhikr Al-Qabail wal-Buthun. Think about that. So how long did he live after drinking the blood? 70 years. For the rest of his life, musk coming out of his mouth. Even when he was martyred, there was still musk coming out of his mouth because he had the blood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, all of this proves no doubt he drank his blood. Anybody denies it, there's some screws loose. It wasn't just him. Other Sahaba drank his blood. Safina radiyallahu anhu, Malik ibn Sinan radiyallahu anhu. So the question to pose is, his blood therefore is pure. But doesn't the Quran say that the blood is impure? And the answer is yes. But Rasulullah, he's an exception to certain things. So his blood is not impure. His blood is pure. Not only pure, it's full of blessings. Too much blessings, which the Sahaba experienced. But the question then is, did our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have any impurities? For instance, urine, right? Or other things that are not parked for us. So what we go to, when we go for the call of nature, right? Everything that comes out of our body is an impurity. What about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The blessed scholars, they've explained. In Umdatul Qari 2-35, Hafiz Aini, he said, rahmatullah alayhi, it has been stated that his excrement were pure. It has been stated that his excrements were pure. So his, what came out of his holy body was all pure. So yes, he did go for a call of nature. Yes, urination, yes, human being. But that's where the difference ends. Because what left his body was pure. Half is Qastalani and Al-Mawahib, he said, the soundest view is that it is positively asserted that all his excrements are pure. This is the view held by Imam Abu Hanifa, as Al-Aini stated. Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi said, the abundance of evidence shows his excrements are pure. The Imams counted this to be amongst his unique qualities. So basically the giants, Imam Abu Hanifa, you can't get higher than that because he's pure. His urine is pure. His call of nature is pure. His blood is pure. Everything is pure. That's why we say Hazur Pak. People just rattle, yeah. Hazur what? Hazur Pak, Pak. So right. So why do you say Pak, right? Okay. You know, he's holy. Yeah, so why? Why have you called him Pak? And he goes, he's a prophet. But then you go in there, you're saying things, you don't even know what you're saying. Right? Everything about him is Pak. That's why you say Pak in the Indian subcontinent. So note, all of this proves this. Sheikh Yusuf al-Biluri, rahmatullah alayh, states in Ma'arif al-Sunnah, the ulama of the four schools unanimously agree that the Prophet's excess matter were pure. Hafiz ibn Hajar explicitly mentioned this in Talkhis al-Habir, whilst Hafiz Shami attested to this in his Rad al-Muhtar, volume 1, page 318. So let's explain this. So Sheikh Yusuf Binuri, he passed away in the 20th century. He was a muhaddith. He was a master of the hadith. He's from the Indian subcontinent. His Sheikh was Sheikh Anwar Shah Kashmiri. He was another imam. Sheikh Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullah alayh, he wrote a commentary of Bukhari called Faidul Bari. Right? And he was an amazing man. He had a photographic memory. Once he went into a library, and they wouldn't let him take the book out. So he just looked at it, memorized it, came back as Yusuf, Sheikh Anwar Shah Kashmiri. His student is Sheikh Yusuf al-Binuri. He was a muhaddith. He knew hundreds of thousands of hadith by heart. He wrote a commentary called Ma'arif al-Sunnah to explain the Sunnah. In there, this Sheikh, he said, the Imams of the four schools have unanimously agreed that the Prophet's, not the Prophet, the Prophet's excess matter is pure. All of them, starting with Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, right to our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Then look what he says. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani mentioned this in Talkhis al-Ghabir, as did Hafiz Shami, another Hanafi giant. Similarly, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani said in another work, in Fath al-Bari, volume 2, page 3, there is overwhelming evidence supporting the view that the Holy Prophet's excess matter was pure, and the scholars have regarded it as a speciality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hafiz Aini then said something very interesting. Hafiz Aini in Umdatul Qari, volume 3, page 35, he said, my ears are deaf to anyone who believes otherwise. My ears are deaf to anyone who believes otherwise. Now, why did he say that? Because there's views amongst the scholars. He goes, no. His urine is like normal urine. His call of nature is a... There's views. You see it floating about. So half his 80, he goes, I'm deaf to that. He goes, I don't want to know them views. He goes, my ears are deaf to anybody who believes otherwise. Now, who's half his 80? Half his 80, he was around in the time of Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani wrote the very famous commentary of Bukhari, Fath al-Bari. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani was Shafi. He followed Imam Shafi. So the Hanafis, they wanted one of their great Imams to challenge you and say, oh, we want a commentary of Bukhari. So Hafiz 80 stepped up. He's all about a commentary of Bukhari, proving the Hanafi fiqh. And it's called Umdatul Qari. meaning he, you know, and he's just as grey as Fattal Bari. So and this is a good thing to compete for the Akhirat. He said there in volume 3, page 35, my ears are deaf to anyone who believes otherwise. So let me mention one or two reports. For instance, in Dar al-Qutni and Qadi Iyad Shifa, Hazrat Aisha al-Mudr radiyallahu anha, she once asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I never smell anything from you. You go for a call of nature and there's nothing but pleasant smell. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh Aisha, don't you know? Don't you know that the earth swallows the remains of the Prophet? So when they go for a call of nature, the earth takes their remains. Aye, because it's a blessing. Because what are you going to smell? Oh Aisha, radiyallahu. So note, they're not like us. Outwardly, yes, they're human beings. But inwardly, they're completely different from us. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So I want you to mention this here. Why? Because people say, what, you're elevating the Prophet above. Say, look, if it's mentioned authentically, we believe it. We're not elevating anybody above what anybody says. Returning to the matter at hand, subhanallah, such was the love and wisdom of a mere child of just 5 years of age for our beloved message. That Allah alayhi salam. Thus Allahu Akbar, now not only was the blessed saliva of our beloved messenger mixed with his chemistry, but also his sacred blood. What was the first thing that entered his body? The saliva of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now what's entered his body? The blood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now what's shocking? They are both the grandchildren of Abdul Muttalib. He's already got the blood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what do I mean by that? Abdullah, his father is Zubair, radiyallahu. Zubair's mother is Safiya, radiyallahu. Safiya's father is Abdul Muttalib. Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father is Abdullah, radiyallahu. His father is Abdul Muttalib. He's already got the blood. That's not enough. He drank his blood and he's got the saliva of Rasulullah in his body. And what's happened? Look, his knowledge has increased too much. His imams increased too much. His strength blasting. And people are asking him, and must coming out of his blessed mouth till he dies. And all of that from what? Rasulullah's blood. And the reason the Prophet probably didn't want him to drink was because he didn't want hardship for him. And people say, why did he say, why do you drink it? Because he didn't want hardship for Abdullah ibn Zubair. Because are you willing to go through this? Because now you've drank it. And when you go through his blessed life, you'll see exactly what the Prophet meant. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Lord, he's still a child. Look at the lessons we're learning. He's not even baligh yet. And yet a child is teaching us our beliefs. The great Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu anhu. And the only thing I want to mention, I'll mention it briefly, is Safina, the one who drank the blood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had a very interesting incident. It's worth mentioning. So the reference in Hakim is Mustadrak Sahih. Zahabi Sahih. And Shaykh al-Bari rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in As-Sahih. This is the gist of the report. So Safina, the one the Prophet called a ship or a boat, he goes, he was on jihad and he got lost. He's in a wilderness and suddenly a lion emerges. And Safina radiyallahu anhu says, I am the servant of Allah. I am the servant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the lion just sat back. And then Safina radiyallahu anhu says, I'm lost. In other words, can you help me find my way? And the lion then turns. And Safina radiyallahu anhu says, I follow the lion thinking that he's showing me the way out. And I noticed as I was walking behind him, other predators were trying to get to me. Well, then the lion would roar as if to say, get out, leave him. And he goes, I'm behind the lion. And eventually I see the path. And then he goes, when I walked up to the path, I looked back and the lion roars. And Safina radiallahu anhu said, I think he was giving me salam. So now, sounds like Jack and Ori, didn't it? Where is it recorded? This is why references are important. It might sound like Jack and Ori. But then the person goes, well, what's special about this sahab? Don't you know who Safina is? Brother, I'm telling you straight. Yeah. He drank the blood of Rasulullah. So now another thing is we can learn. Animals are obedient to them. The lion, and the lion is a noble creature. One hadith says that every time the lion roars, it's saying, oh Lord, do not let me attack the pious. protect the pious from me. A very noble creature, the lions. So all I mentioned today was basically his drinking of our beloved messenger's blood. How that came about, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, was through cupping. And then I mentioned a bit about this to explain that this is part of our belief in terms of the purity of the prophets, alayhi salatu wa sallam. Are there any questions you want to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اتوب الله منك الامين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاه والسلام على في خص الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق وواصل الصبر صدق الله العظيم